are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast episode 374, part of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I am Jay, and with me is Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, good. So I have a question for you, Jay.
Okay, I probably have an answer for you.
Cool. Episode 374, is that, are we near, at, or above, or below the Knicks win percentage?
Oh, I haven't looked. I am going to say we are above the Knicks winning percentage.
Above?
Yeah.
Really? Let's
I don't know. They're 15 games below 500.
That's a pretty low percentage. 374. Okay. The answer is the Knicks are now at 38%. 388.
Okay.
So we are just below their winning percentage. Under over. Will we at the end of the season have put out more shows or a higher? Will our show number be higher or lower than the Knicks win percentage?
Higher, definitely, because we have 12 straight. Decent teams were playing in a row after Thursday.
Because we should be around in the 380s with our show, right? Or around 380 or so at the end of the season?
Just about.
Episode number. Yeah. Okay, so if the Knicks go downhill from... Yeah, I think we are going to beat the Knicks win percentage. I am in a good mood. Tank Sanity is... Lynn Sanity tonight met Tank Sanity.
I think we'll only be at like 377, 378, and I think that'll be enough.
Do you think there's anything to the fact that, like, if Lynn Sanity came back to the Knicks, even if he wasn't that great, everyone would still be going crazy about Lynn? He went to the Nets, playing in basically the same city, and no one gives a crap.
Nobody gives a crap about the Nets.
No one gives a crap. The Nets are so far from anyone caring about them.
Well, I mean...
They're awful.
Why would you care about them? I mean, there's tanking, and then there's what the Nets are, which is ironic that we're bashing them because they just beat the Knicks.
I'll tell you why you should care. They scored 120 points against the Knicks. That is almost I saw the Knicks had two of three of their games in a row were against the Nets. They played the Nets today, then they played the Pacers, and they played the Nets again. I would have said against the Nets at. I almost thought it was impossible to lose to the Nets. I thought the Knicks were going to screw up their tanking by beating the Nets twice. I was hoping the Knicks could split the series with the Nets. And now there's a possibility the Knicks lose both games.
It's insane.
It is amazing. This was such a good week in Knick tanking.
It really was. So we are four games into that key six-game stretch. Where I said we're playing bad teams and this could ruin our tank. We won the first one. We beat Orlando and I was getting nervous.
Yeah, that one was tough. The lose/win the game, like lose for the tank, but win against Orlando. That was, I have to say, that game I was kind of. So this is the week we beat the Pistons. Sorry, beat the Magic, lost to the Bucks, lost to the Pistons, and now lost to the Nets. Right?
Yeah.
I had to say, like, that was the one game I didn't mind as much because I liked the fact that Randle played well.
He did. He played really good. Randle had a plus 29 and Rose had a minus 23 that game.
Which tells you everything about the fact that why the Knicks can't release Rose right now and they need to play him big minutes down the stretch. Do you think the Knicks are auditioning Rose and there's a decent chance they're going to... What percentage chance do you think the Knicks are going to bring Rose back?
60.
What kind of contract are we looking at?
3 years, 18 per.
Why not just be a 4 years? Give him a Noah.
Yeah, they might even do that. I am so.
Or I could see the 3-year being like, we'll just have him till Noah's gone also, because why the hell not?
Yeah.
I think what happens is Phil looks around. People sign with, like, people like Drew's re-signs in New Orleans. A couple guys, just he doesn't get them. He's like, well, we still have Derrick Rose. If you look at his numbers and don't watch the games, like, he looks pretty good. And, like, Derrick Rose, and he might get back to his MVP form. Let's give him a big contract. I'm thinking, like, 3 years, $20 million. But I would say at least a third of New York Knicks fans also will be totally fine with Derrick Rose being re-signed.
Yeah, because a third of New York Knicks fans do not look at the defensive end of the court.
Yeah, I mean, well, he still looks really pretty when he comes to the basket. Like, he can finish at the rim, even though it looks like, I was watching the end of the game against the Nets today, and every time Rose, like, would get the ball, he'd go right to the basket, and you were like, hey, do you want to even pretend to involve your teammates, point guard?
You know what the problem was? The Bucks game. He went 13 for 16 and had, I think, 8 assists. That alone probably got him a contract.
They lost the game, though.
Of course they lost the game, because he doesn't defend anybody. I'm just saying, people don't look at that. People look at 13 for 16, that's amazing.
I mean, the thing is, people look at it and go, Knicks are still garbage. It's not Rose's fault. Rose is still a great player. I think someone made the argument to us on Facebook or Twitter that they still think Rose is maybe like a top 10 point guard.
Jesus
and
Christ.
It's the Knicks system that's blowing it. Oh my God. Because on the one hand, so he played, Randall played pretty well. I mean,
somebody messaged us saying that Rose is a top 10 point guard. So I listed 10 point guards and I said, well, who is he better than? And the reply was like 4 of the guys I mentioned.
I don't even want to go through the list. I mean, like, obviously, I mean, Derrick Rose is not the only problem. This team has lots and lots of problems.
Oh,
or actually, they don't have a lot of problems. I mean, in the other sense, Derrick Rose is maybe MVP of the tank race. But they have a lot of problems, and there's, like, the bench isn't that great. Porzingis is not playing that amazing either. Melo has issues. Lots of guys have issues on this team. This team is it's a collection of mediocrity. Like there's a lot of things going wrong here. How are the Miami Heat this good?
I don't know. They didn't change their roster at all, and all of a sudden they just decided to be one of the better teams in the East.
They're 21-4 in their last 25 games.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
not just
on a winning streak,
but
they're a whole different team.
They're going to be in the playoffs.
Well, they're going to be in the playoffs. So they went from, like, being in the tank race to now, like, they probably will make the playoffs. They're in the 9th seed right now. They are a 1 game behind the Bucks, and legitimately, I don't think they can beat the Cavs, but if they get to the 2 seed, right now the 2 seed is the Wizards, I'm going to take the Heat at the 7th seed over the Wizards.
I don't know if I'd be that bold, but I don't know.
I'm going to be that bold. I'm going to say if the Heat get to the 7th seed, they're going to the second round.
I mean, they do look really good.
They are playing such good basketball. I don't even understand. I was looking up, what's his name, Deion. I was like, has Deion Waiters just been like, because I don't get to watch the Heat games. And I'm like, well, maybe Waiters has, like, just, like, his career is, maybe he's hit where you thought he would be. He's become, and so I looked up Deion Waiters' stats, because I was like, maybe that's because he's been playing better. He's still shooting, like, 40%. He's not playing that much better, at least statistically. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird. I mean, I know Deion Waiters started going off.
It's like the sum of the parts is better than the individual players. It's like they're playing team basketball, and that's how you win the NBA. Unlike the Knicks, when the parts are more important, are far better than the team.
Interesting concept you have there.
Have you heard the fact that Melo was saying how in the locker room, like, they talk about the Heat, and they're like, they weren't saying, like, we're better than the Heat, but they were just saying, we have a lot of good players. If the Heat could do this, why can't we?
Because they play defense.
Yeah, no, they never got to that point. But, well, hey, listen, the major issue all season, and the major issue is the Knicks have gone away from the triangle, and thank God team president Phil Jackson has come down to tutor this team in the triangle. three seasons into his team presidency, he felt the need to do this.
It seems like it's really confusing everybody, too.
It's really what?
Confusing everybody.
Oh, it's what? Like, if Phil Jackson said to you on the first when you hired him and said, I think possibly, it's like two-thirds into the third season I'm here, I'm going to think I need to come down and coach this team on the triangle. You would have just said, don't ever show up to work. Just we'll call, like, just take, here's $1 million, go away. You wouldn't even have him be your team president if you knew this was going to happen.
Right.
Like, you, like the fact that he feels the need to come down as team president this far into his third season and go, like, I'm going to coach the team in the triangle means everything's wrong here.
I mean, there's a lot of problems beyond the triangle, but yeah, that is part of it.
Well, it's not even just like, it's not even what that says. It's just what that says. Mm-hmm. It says you have a team president who's obsessed with interfering with the coach. You have a team president who's obsessed with his system and thinks the system's more important than what the coach thinks. You have a team president who can't, like, understand his role.
I'm wondering if the triangle is just outdated at this point.
I mean, I don't know if the team's offense will even look that much worse at the triangle. They're using more triangle lately. I mean, the team's a mess, and they're not gonna master the system mid-season. But the fact, like, does Phil Jackson not understand his role?
I don't even care about that. I don't care about the triangle. The thing is, this team can't cover anybody. And if you look who they got in the offseason, other than Courtney Lee, everyone they got was a terrible defender. And
no,
then they're wondering
true.
Why they're letting up like 110 points a game.
That's Phil Jackson's role. His role is to get the good players. His role, well, not even good players, get players that play defense and a balanced team. That's his role.
But Phil's acquisitions were like Nick's Twitter, where they just look at points and didn't pay any attention to defense.
I'm not sure what he was looking at, but Phil Jackson, your team president, I don't care if it's Phil Jackson, your team president is Michael Jordan or whoever it is, they should not. I understand he held his clinics in the offseason on the triangle. He wants his system, but really, you're the team president, you're the GM, but same basic idea. There should be a separation. You should hire a coach. Have a general understanding with the coach, what you want. But the coach, you have to be hands off. You can't micromanage. And I feel like to a certain extent, Phil keeps trying to micromanage. And not that this team is not a disaster, and for so many other reasons. But Phil Jackson, either you want to be the coach and just coach the goddamn team, or hire a coach, get the players, and then hands off. Give them autonomy. Let the coach do what he wants to do. You've heard, like, just general in your job, Jay. Do you have a boss that micromanages you?
No.
Would you like a boss that, like, every once in a while shows you how to do your job?
No, it would be so annoying.
Yeah. They say one of the things that makes people happiest in their job is be giving autonomy. And yeah. Phil is just constantly, like, he's constantly bad, like, either taking shots at players on the Twitter, like Carmelo, or he's coming out with, like, weird pieces through his butt buddy. What's that guy's name? Charlie Rosen. Or he's coming in to, like, have practice where he's, like, telling them how to run the triangle.
Right. It's.
You don't see, like, this is part of, like, a microcosm of the entire problem?
I mean, I definitely think it's a piece of the problem puzzle.
I'm not even just saying the fact that, like, they're trying to run whether they're running the triangle or not. It's that. He's like, if you want a triangle, find a guy who coaches the triangle. Or it just seems weird to me that he'd come and, like, interfere with because you have to think, if he does this, he must interfere so much with Hornacek. Hornacek must feel the whole time that he has Phil looking over his shoulder, and that kind of, like, part of what he does is kind of swayed by what Phil thinks.
Yeah, I mean, you also got to wonder what kind of message that sends to the players.
I understand, like, a GM and a coach have to be they communicate and they have to be on the same page, but it's just a weird, yeah. Like, it says, like, who's really the coach here? Is it Phil or is it Hornacek? Who do we really answer to?
Right. Well, it might also say, like, Hornacek isn't good enough to do his job because Phil is the butt in. So why should I listen to this guy?
Right. It also says, like, you're not really empowering your coach to, like, do what he wants. Like if Hornacek just said, like, hey, Melo, I want to hold you responsible. I'm going to sit you. And Melo will be like, I don't think Phil's going to be up for that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, you're like, let it be his team. I can't think of a situation where I felt like the guy that always stands out that runs the team is the coach. And the GM's always in the background. And even the GM, Philly's GM, Hinkie, you didn't see Hinkie trying to interfere with the coach.
Right. I don't see anybody trying to do that on any other team in the league.
No, even Pat Riley, who's the example that the Knicks followed when they hired Phil. Pat Riley, at one point, he wanted to – you remember the 06 season when the Heat won? He interfered with the coach, but what he did was he just took over. He fired the coach and said, I'm going to coach the team.
Right.
Fine. You want to control? You coach the goddamn team.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, Phil, like, coach the team then. He says if he's medically unable, then understand your role. Your role is to acquire talent. You should be scouting the goddamn NCAA, not teaching your players the goddamn triangle.
Also, like, you're not doing your job good. So don't spread yourself so thin that you're trying to do other people's jobs. Get your job down first.
Yeah. Scout the D-League. Try to figure out there's so much you should be doing to make this team better. Maybe, you know what would be great? If at the during the like before the trade deadline, Hornacek was like, "Hey Phil, I got some trades for you."
Right.
Like, it's just,
"Hey Phil, I was scouting some European players. You should take a look at these guys."
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, here's some trade scenarios I whipped up on the ESPN trade machine.
Hey Phil, I'm doing your job by not scouting college players either.
Hey, Phil, I decided I would take initiative and just start tweeting cryptic tweets.
Hey, Phil, I decided to be Charlie Rosen's anonymous source this time. I don't know. It just irked me that he was coming down to do this. Like, and it was like, you hear also it was like they didn't tell the media they were having the practice, so he was kind of trying to do it behind the. Because apparently it's against league rules to hold the practice without telling the media. So he purposely violated league rules to try to do this, like, keep this on the DL. Like, somehow he'd get away with, like, I had practice. No one knew about the practice. So no one knew I was there to, like, tell everyone how to run the triangle.
I'm just wondering what went through his head. Did he think, like, we'll have a secret practice, and then next game we're going to be awesome because of all the stuff I taught them, and they're going to be like, how did everybody get so awesome?
I know the players must have been like, oh, this season's not enough of a disaster. The old guy with the 11 rings now wants to tell me how to play basketball.
The old guy who thinks three-pointers are irrelevant wants to teach us how to play.
Yeah, you know what? We'll listen to him, we'll learn the triangle, and then we'll allow the Brooklyn Nets to shoot 12 of 20 from three-point land in the first half against us because we don't care at all about the three-point shot.
My theory is that the Knicks think that the three-point line is the out-of-bounds line. That's why they don't go past it.
I saw that. I saw you put that on Twitter. That was pretty funny.
I mean, Brooke Lopez was like 5 of 6 from three-pointers in like the first 12 minutes or something.
You know what? Like, the players should be like Phil will be like, hey, Derrick Rose. So, and I understand Derrick Rose's issue. He's like, my whole career I've been like this pick and roll point guard. You want me to like stand in the corner and play this new system? Why'd you get me if you want me to play a different system? But he should be like, hey, Rose, you got to do this. And Rose is like, hey, Phil, how about you don't give $72 million to my buddy that can't play basketball 2 years ago?
I mean, isn't that going to be the arguing point for every Knicks contract going forward? Like, you gave Noah $72 million, so I should probably make $37 billion.
You're like, oh, I wasn't washed up 2 years ago. How about I should get a huge contract too?
Right. I mean, anything below $100 million is a ripoff now compared to Noah's contract.
Oh, my God. And we have 2 more years of Phil, which is insane. What do you think his strategy, like, Knicks getting a top 10 pick, hopefully. Maybe top 5.
It's looking real good for top 10. Top 5, there's a really good chance now.
We're almost a lock for top 10. Top 5, also it depends on the lottery, because we could get lucky and get a top 3, or you get pushed back like 3 picks.
I mean, we're in 7th right now. We're 2 games away from 4th.
I mean, I hear myself, like, right now. Are you opening and closing the room?
I didn't touch a thing.
Okay, you bastard. if you look at where the Knicks are, so in the East, Charlotte's up by – Charlotte has 29 wins. Are they catching Charlotte?
No. No. I mean, well, Charlotte's playing really, really bad, but I still don't think they're going to catch them.
And the Bulls are up by – I mean, I know it's the wins and losses, but like Bulls have 31 wins. They're up by 5 wins. They're not catching the Bulls.
No.
You're not catching the Heat.
Bulls are also playing terrible, but they're not catching them.
I mean, the Knicks are a lock for top 10. So you look at the below them.
Like, the Knicks, based on their upcoming schedule, they might not get 5 wins the rest of the season.
Here's a question for you. The Philly is playing the Lakers tonight. Who do you want to win?
Philly.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not catching the Lakers or Philly, but you have a better chance with Philly because they have 23 wins. So Orlando has 24 wins. Orlando looks like a hot piece of garbage. I don't understand how bad they are.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm kind of hoping that this moving Aaron Gordon to the four, kind of where he's supposed to be, kind of makes them at least win a couple games more.
It's weird because Philly has been actively tanking for years to be part of the process. Orlando's just been doing the process also accidentally.
The sad thing is, if Embiid didn't go down, Philly would be way ahead of us in the standings.
I mean, they'd probably have like around 30 wins. They'd probably have 4 or 5 more games. Yeah, Embiid would make a huge difference there. And we're not catching the Nets, obviously. The Nets have 12 wins. So unless the Nets go on a Miami Heat-like run, we probably aren't catching them.
We could catch the Magic, the Philly, and the Kings. So we could finish in the bottom four.
That's going to be tough. So the on the other side of it, the Lakers have 20 wins, probably not catching. Phoenix has 22. Devin Booker had a huge game.
And they're 5-5 in their last 10, so it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I feel like Sacktown, 25 wins, one game worse than us in the win column. We could catch Sack.
Yeah,
you have to think the Pelicans. They have a Mario Mello part two. We could catch them.
Well, we did today. We passed.
Oh yeah,
them.
We're tied with them.
No, we're worse now.
Oh yeah, because we have one more loss. Yeah. I think the Pelicans should win a few more games.
Yeah,
we were talking about we had a conversation midweek about the Pelicans. Do you think the question is Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins? Do you think either one of them, because they're playing together, they aren't looking very good, and obviously it could take a while to gel. But do you think either one of them was overrated to begin with?
Either one of who?
DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis.
I don't think they're overrated. I just think they both have flaws that are kind of ignored sometimes. Like, Anthony Davis is very, very injury prone. And DeMarcus Cousins does not try sometimes.
You would think, though, DeMarcus Cousins would be, like, very into trying now that he's playing next to Anthony Davis. Like, that would be a huge motivator.
I got to think that it's just growing pains and they're going to win some games at the end of the season.
I mean, I don't think they're going to be bad. Like, the thing we were talking about also before midweek was that we talked about after our Brink show was the we also do a comedy podcast, Jay. What's it called?
The Brink of Sanity. If you type in Brink of Sanity in iTunes, it comes right up. And we have hundreds of episodes of that, too. It's us with a rotating third person and it's basically this without the Knicks talk.
Yes, yes. So we talk about our lives minus a huge piece of sadness, the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
The thing is, we were talking about if you're a really good player, you should be able to help kind of get your team to the playoffs. Not like going far, but there aren't too many really, really good players who've been in the league, played in the league like 5 or 6 good years that couldn't get their team to the playoffs once.
Right.
And Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins, neither one could get their teams to the playoffs.
No. Davis did it once last year.
The Pelicans did it once?
Last year.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, last year they, I think they got stomped by Golden State in the first round last year.
Oh, never mind then. Then it's just the Cousins then. He couldn't get Sacramento anywhere.
Right.
I just feel like if you're a good player, you should be able to get your players. You're like, if you have enough time, you should be able to get your team to the playoffs. And there aren't that many examples. I was saying we couldn't think of too many examples of NBA players. And if you can think of an example out there, listener, let us know of a guy who was a really good NBA player on a crap team that could never get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, even good players with terrible surrounding players got their teams to the playoffs. Like Garnett in Minnesota got Minnesota to the playoffs almost every year. Pau Gasol got the Vancouver Grizzlies to the playoffs 4 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of good players that, like, I mean, and maybe you don't want to take, like, a – it's just like if you play with a pile of – like, LeBron James plays with – obviously, he's one of the greatest ever – plays with a pile of garbage and get them to, like, the NBA Finals. You should be able to – if you're a good player, you should be able to get your team, like, somewhere. To get some wins. Make your team better. I don't know.
An NBA beat writer just said that Tyronn Lue is complaining – because he's saying LeBron is the best player in the world. Why isn't he getting attention for the MVP award? Because it's not the best player award. Why is this so confusing to people? It's the most valuable player, and LeBron makes super teams. So he's not the most valuable on his team because he surrounds himself with like three other all-stars.
You know, also, I have to say, like, if you're going for your first MVP, I can see your coach complaining about yourself playing about it. LeBron's what going for MVP number five. How many does he want?
I don't know. It's not the best player award. So you're just making yourself look stupid, and you're just looking like another LeBron apologist. Like, how many accolades does this guy need? Seriously.
I mean, he probably should be. First of all, you're Tyronn Lue. Your job is to win the NBA title. Nothing else. LeBron, your job is to win the NBA title. Nothing else. Your MVP award. It's great if you win it, but don't be concerned about it because you got to win the MVP. You got to win the title. And LeBron's having a good year.
Right.
He should be in the conversation. Is he not in the conversation?
He is.
Is anyone saying
he's already like top five in the MVP award conversation?
Someone pointed out that his year, like, what is he shooting from three? He's shooting 39% from three. That's pretty goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
He's having a good year. I mean, he's LeBron James. He has a good year every year. The only thing he's not doing is his free throw shooting is crap this year. But everything else, and the Cleveland would not be – how bad would Cleveland be without him? I think Cleveland's a bottom – like a sixth or seventh seed – sixth or fifth seed without him. Maybe seventh seed without him.
I mean, if Love is still injured, yeah, they would probably be like sixth seed.
Without Love, I think they might be able to struggle to make the playoffs.
No, not in this East. Come on. Okay. Irving alone is probably enough to make the playoffs in this East.
I don't know. That Irving was an example of a guy that was really good and the team sucked.
Yeah, but he was like 19.
Yeah, that's true. He's obviously gotten better.
That's like, blaming the Knicks on Porzingis, who's 20.
I mean, the thing is also, Lou's saying that he's in the MVP conversation. Like, if you say your top five guys for MVP right now, it'd be LeBron, Harden, Westbrook. Who else?
I mean, I think that's pretty much the list, right?
Yeah, I don't think
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard, yes, Kawhi Leonard. Durant's obviously not getting it, and Steph Curry's not getting it.
No, it's a four person race right now.
Yeah,
and LeBron might be in fourth, but that's pretty damn good out of 420 something players.
Yeah, and I would have to say the argument for Westbrook. I'd go with Harden.
Probably Harden or Leonard, because Spurs don't look good without Leonard either.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Oklahoma's crap without Westbrook. I mean, they're both having such insane years.
Yeah, that's the thing. Thus, most valuable.
Yes. I mean, I'm looking at the stats. I was curious. So Westbrook is Westbrook still averaging a triple-double?
Yeah. He's at like 10.0 for assists, but he's there.
Holy crap. If he gets a triple-double, I mean, like, it's hard to argue against that also. That's just an insane season.
Speaking of valuable to the team, a lot of people were saying, well, where would the Knicks be without Melo? Well, they're 15 games below 500, and he's had his healthiest season in years. So he also said he had a lot to prove this season. Has he proved it, but in the opposite way which he intended?
I don't want to take everything. I like the first part of your premise there. Where would the Knicks be without Melo the last 3 years? They would be in the exact same position they are now.
Right. And I'm not saying it's all Melo's fault before people start getting really angry. I'm not saying that at all.
I just want to start a fight with our fans.
I'm just saying that he's not this like crazy difference maker that people think he is.
He's, you know, the Melo of old could get a bad Denver team to the playoffs. The current Melo cannot get a bad Knicks team to the playoffs.
It's defense. It's defense, just like everybody else on the team. Other than Courtney Lee, the other four starters on this team are negative defenders.
You want me to play the other side of that? You want me to defend Melo because he won't defend himself?
Or anybody else?
Or anybody else. Yeah, the defenses. I feel like Melo should, I don't know, whatever. Melo is not the fault of, this team is a disaster well beyond Melo. I mean, look at if you look at the team right now, Porzingis has had better year than last year, but not really the step you wanted him to take this year.
Right.
I mean, his defense has been pretty mediocre. With some he had some block today that was insane. Jay was telling me before the show. You pointed out to me the one where he grabbed the ball from the guy in the nets and like just took the ball. Oh, are you typing?
No,
Jay. What are you doing?
I'm going through the four games this week because I wanted to see how many fouls he had per game because he gets a lot of dumb fouls, and he did foul out tonight.
I feel like they call more fouls. I feel like he also gets called with a lot of dumb fouls. I just like foul, like not even that he's committing the fouls, that like the refs are almost calling extra fouls on him.
It's possible, but he's in foul trouble a lot.
I think one of the things that like because he's such a good shot blocker, he gets called sometimes when he just gets a clean block.
He needs to get a rep like Hibbert. Hibbert got that rep for having verticality. And then he was able to like foul people while blocking, and they would just say it was verticality.
Okay, Porzingis, you have to get the rep like Hibbert, and then be out of the league 3 years later. look at that. Porzingis, better, not where you want him to be quite yet. His defense, he's had an okay second year, not quite the sophomore year you're hoping. Melo, he's been healthier, but his defense is probably on defense. He's been probably his worst season in the NBA as far as defense.
Yeah.
The offense has been there, but his defense has been horrible. Hernan Gomez, he's a rookie. He's looking okay.
He's been way better on defense than we thought he would be.
I'm very happy where he's been. Rose is an abomination on defense. His offense is better than
yours. Which is weird because last year he was one of the worst defenders in the entire NBA.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I thought he obviously he'd bounce back and have a great year in defense. It didn't make sense to me either.
We were saying before the season 18-8 would be really good for Porzingis for his second year.
And is that what he's doing?
He's doing 18-7.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable. Like I think he moved forward.
I mean, I would like to see a couple more. I would like to see him flirt with a double double. Because he's 7'3", so 10 rebounds would be nice, but he could still get there.
His shooting percentage is not where you want it to be.
Yeah. That could be a product of the offense, too.
It's really the fact that he disappears a lot and doesn't look like he's part of the offense at times. And his defense, he looks lost at times. But I think it has a lot to do with the mediocrity that surrounds him and the lack of like coherent system. There's a lot of issues that I think have hurt his development this year.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't necessarily say like I like Porzingis. I still think he's going to be a star player in this league. But anyway, I Hernan Gomez, we like him. Rose, Courtney Lee hasn't been as bad as people think he's been.
Courtney Lee's been really good. Courtney Lee has been a top two starter on this team. Maybe the best starter on this team.
He's been basically exactly what you expected from him.
Yes.
He pretty much the exact guy you signed. He's been solid enough. He's just that like when we signed him, people were like, oh, we got a lockdown guaranteed, like shut down the other team defender. No, he's an okay defender.
He's been a little worse on defense than he has been throughout his career, but he's also over 30 now. So he's maybe lost a little bit of a step, but he's still the best defender in the starting lineup. Probably Noah's obviously.
Noah's been an absolute disaster, obviously. The bench, we came into the year worried about the bench, and that was a legitimate concern. The bench has been, like, weak the whole year. I mean, like, at times it's looked okay, but overall the bench is weak.
Yeah, I mean, Holiday's really in a mega slump right now.
Sometimes Holiday looks good, and sometimes you realize why Holiday has yet to really establish himself in the NBA, because he's inconsistent. He's kind of, at best, he's kind of a, I hate to say it, but Lance Thomas light.
Are you over Lance Thomas?
Yeah, I'm over that. I actually think Lance Thomas is still a decent guy to have. He's a solid defender. I still think he's a solid defender. I think he's a decent bench player to have. I think a lot of teams in the NBA would be fine having him on the bench.
He's pretty terrible on offense, though.
Yeah, he's pretty terrible. He's a solid, like, once in a while he can hit some threes, and he's a solid defender. I mean, the MVP of our bench is Kyle O'Quinn also, which says, like, O'Quinn's looked good at times, but also says a lot about our bench.
Yeah. Do you want to go through the games at all, or do you think we pretty much covered them?
I kind of think we covered them already. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to add about the games? Like,
Was today a Quincy AC revenge game?
What did he even do? What was the stats on him?
12 points on 4 of 6 shooting, 6 rebounds. He was a plus 6.
Okay.
I mean, for Quincy AC, that's like crazy numbers.
Is that like a Nick? Did he get Nick effect?
I'm going to have to check on that. Okay. The New York Knicks podcast.com. If you're a new listener, a Nick effect is when a player gets one of his top two scoring games of the season against the Knicks. I update the list after every game, and the list is at about 35 players right now.
Okay. I was listening to the Bucks game. I was at work late, and I was leaving, and I was listening to on the radio to the fourth quarter. And on the radio, at least, it was Greek Freak, and I think it was Tony Snell. I think it was Snell. Right? They kept writing pick and rolls where Snell would be the pick guy. And they ran the same play over and over again and scored almost every time. And the Knicks, the radio announcers were like, they're running the same play. Why can't the Knicks stop? It's the same play again. They couldn't even believe the Knicks could not adjust to, like, once trap the Greek Freak, get the ball out of his hands, and stop the play. They're like, that's 8 of 9 times they've scored on that exact play. What are the Knicks doing?
I wonder if during the huddle they're just laughing, like, yeah, let's run that again.
Yeah. They're like, you know, don't you think the Knicks will just see that's coming? Yeah. It doesn't matter. I have nothing to add about the end.
Okay, let's do some emails.
Okay, go to email.
nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. Sam asked if we could play the Tale as Old as Time drop, which is the Beast Report intro. Sure.
Get ready for
Tale as Old as Time.
The Beast Report.
Also, if you're a new listener, that was for DeMar Carroll, who we were told was putting up Beast numbers, and he wasn't. So I made that.
Yes. So we have a Toronto Raptors fan, a super fan of our show, and he called him a beast. We made fun of the fact that DeMar Carroll was a beast, made all these bits, and then had to go through like 3 episodes where people were calling us racist for calling him a beast. Lovely times.
Yeah, good times.
Anyway, DeMar Carroll is having an okay year.
No, it's not a pretty bad year.
Yeah, the Raptors are really good, so I don't think they mind as much.
Yeah.
Mark
writes, Mark with a C also.
Oh yeah, Mark with a C and it's not like I like, it's Mark with a C, and it's not like I can be like, oh yeah, my parents nailed that one. Like I didn't even spell it. It wasn't my people are always like, oh, why do you spell it that way? Oh, I have a choice. Like I'm gonna like halfway through my life switch it to a K.
He writes, doubling down on the triangle seems like declaring that the beatings will continue until morale improves. Where are we now on the mutiny scale from 1 to 10? Besides helping with the tank, how will this affect next year?
So he's like saying like, you're getting beat up by the bullies? Well, why put some extra tape on your glasses? Here's a second pocket protector.
I mean, people are starting to call for boycotts again, which seems almost like an annual thing now.
It is really like, yeah. We get someone messages about them. They're doing some kind of boycott at the before one of the Knicks games coming up.
I feel like the Knicks. I mean, Dolan himself is trying. He's butt out. He thought Phil was a basketball genius. Like, in, I can't get too mad at Dolan for this one.
I agree. I'm not as. I mean, I think Dolan is a disaster in many ways, and the Oakley thing. Holy crap!
Yeah,
but
well, that's a different story. I'm just talking about team wise. I think he thought he did everything he could.
I mean, you would have said, what do you want Dolan to do? If not sell the team, what's the next best thing he could do? Would be hire someone he thought really understood basketball and just stay the hell away and give the guy total control.
Yeah.
Is it weird that Phil Jackson got the job from someone who said, you do your job, I'll do my job, and I'll put you in complete control. And then Phil said, I'm going to hire a coach and tell the coach, I'm not going to do that for him. You do right. your job, and I'll interfere all the time.
True.
Yeah, just saying. Maybe that's what they should really do. Hornets actually just like next time Phil shows up at the practice and be like, "Screw it, I'm just doing your job for now on, Phil. See how you like it."
That is it for emails. You want to do Facebook? Okay.
Yeah, just a Facebook. We got Ralph writes, "Who is your baseball team, Mark?" I'm surprised you haven't heard me mention it already. The New York Mets. I love the New York Mets. They are my number one team, even more so than the Knicks. And they are the also an amazing example as the Mets became a disaster, became a laughingstock, and they said, we're going to do it right, do a real rebuild, go young, and make it work. And then only start spending money. I mean, they lost a lot of money in the whole Madoff scandal, so they had money issues anyway, but they're like, we're going to only start spending on free agents when it's the time is right, when we have some pieces in place already. The Mets were horrible for 5 years, and then right after that, they went to the World Series, the playoffs. They have a good team and a sustainable – they have what you probably a sustainable winning team going forward, which is awesome. And the Knicks are not willing to rebuild, and here's where it got us. Or here's where we are.
Yeah.
Jay, would you be fine if the Knicks – like, would you – like, are you totally fine with the Knicks on board, the Knicks doing what the Mets did?
Yeah. I mean, because it got them to a World Series. I mean, they made, what, two World Series in the last 15 years?
Yeah. Well, no. So they went to the World – so Mets went pretty far in the playoffs in 06. Then by like 09, the team kind of fell apart. 2010, they didn't even tank. They just were really bad. Like, it wasn't like they were actively trying to get higher in the draft, but they were really bad for 5 years, and they started getting good. And then 2015, they made a surprising run and got to the World Series. Last year, they made the playoffs, the wild card round, which is like a play-in game for the playoffs. And this year, they have a pretty good chance to make the playoffs.
Well, they made the finals, the World Series against the Yankees.
2000.
So that's.
I mean,
that's pretty much the same amount of success as the Knicks have had.
Really? Well, minus the 06 when they went pretty far in the playoffs. And
the Knicks made two finals and went really far in the playoffs in the 90s.
Oh, you mean like overall? I thought you meant like recent.
Yeah, because I mean, the Mets were good in the 60s. The Knicks were good in the 70s. They're basically on the same timeline, just 10 years apart.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. Yeah, I mean, that's the Mets are going to do the Knicks 90s run right now. Yeah. Where they're pretty good for a while, pretty sustainable for a while. Whatever. I just want the Knicks to have a real rebuild and figure this crap out. And I always love the counter-argument. Well, you know what? So-and-so team, it's been bad also, and they're still bad. So going young and rebuilding never works. Ralph writes, how high a draft pick can we get?
Number one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lottery, so.
I mean, if we fall into a top four spot, it's not unrealistic for a number four spot to get the number one pick. It's happened a few times.
I mean, it could be higher than that also. Are you going to be active? Are you going to be super into watching the March Madness to watch some of these guys?
No. I mean, I feel like it's – you're watching, like, you know, 40 games, and everyone else is going to do the work, and it's going to come down to like three or four guys you want anyway.
I'm just not – it's not like I'm going to – well, first of all, it's not like whoever I think the Knicks are going to draft. Unlike you, who thought the Knicks would draft Porzingis and they listened to you. but I just think it would be fun to like watch – kind of watch the players and be have like – like watch the good players enough to like have some rooting interest in the draft, like who the guys should take. I even thought when the Knicks took Grant, Jerian Grant, I was like, oh, I remember watching him, and he looked pretty good in college. Ralph writes, who will we draft? We will draft the best possible player, Ralph.
It's got to be a point guard.
You need a point guard. Do you know who it's going to be? Someone 7 foot or high or taller. Frank writes, with all the roster turnover and turmoil surrounding this team, how much do you think we have hurt KP's career to this point?
Not too much yet. If this goes on another year or two, I think maybe, but I think he's all right so far.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd like him to be a little further along, but I don't think it could make that.
I mean, he's averaging 18 and 8. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you put him on the Spurs, yeah, he'd be a little bit further along. But I think it's fine. Jaime writes, wow, can you believe that Phil was actually showing guards how to run the triangle in different ways? Do you think when Phil like turned around, like you have Courtney Lee behind him being like, what? Like they mouth to each other, like make jokes.
Probably.
Like when the teacher turns his back. Grant writes, what are the odds that the Knicks are still trying to win games, even though tanking and getting a high draft pick would help us? Did you put it on Twitter, your comment? I forget exactly how you phrased it, but the saddest part about tanking is watching how bad the Knicks actually look.
No, I said the saddest part about this is that this is what the Knicks look like when they're actually trying, because they're not tanking right now and they're just not winning.
Well, someone pointed out on Twitter, they're like, well, the Knicks, they're like players don't tank, coaches and organizations tank, which I think everyone gets that players aren't on the court actively throwing games unless there's like the mob involved in the game and it's like gambling.
Right.
But I also think players just like don't give when they think the season's done or whatever, they don't give it as much effort as they could.
Yeah, no, that's true, but. You know, players also don't want to have a record like the Nets. Like, look at the Nets today. They tried. The thing about tanking is it has to be a system thing where you put the players in a position to lose by messing with the rotations, by playing the younger guys bigger minutes, you know.
Having the team president come and teach the triangle.
Right, right. So, you know, we're still playing Rose and Melo between 35 and 40 minutes a game. That's not a team that's tanking.
Yeah, yeah. In that respect, that you really kind of feel like the Knicks, like it was like the year they tanked when they got Porzingis, they shut down Melo halfway through the season, and they traded away every good player. You had to think like, oh, this team is actively trying to lose, even though the guys in the court weren't actively trying to lose the games. Like this, you're right. Playing Rose and Melo big minutes. If they said Randall gets 25 minutes a night and Baker gets 25 minutes a night, you'd have to say, oh, this team is just trying to go for the young players. Were you annoyed after the Knicks had that victory against when they beat the Magic, Randall had a pretty decent game, and then they sat Randall the next night?
And the next night, and the next night, and pretty much every night since.
Were you annoyed by that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any Randall sanity or Randall's the second coming of anything, but it just seems like you should be playing the young guys and trying to develop them. Like,
what do you got? Like, was that an aberration, or is that what Randall is? Like, we know what Rose is, and he's Randall, terrible on defense, and we don't want him. So, like, see what Randall is.
Yeah, I just kind of look at it as Randall's played a little bit. He's had, like, he played 19 minutes against the Pistons. It wasn't nothing. He played, I think, 12 minutes today. But, yeah, you kind of, like, in my mind, there's no way in God's green earth Rose should be on the team next year. So why are you even playing him except you think he helps us lose? Instead, you should play guys like Randall because you think Randall might actually be on the team next year.
I mean,
but then again, I think the Knicks think there's a decent chance Rose is going to be on the team next year. I'm convinced that you're right.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's like Rose, I could see playing him. but he should be, his minutes should be down to like 20 to 25.
I don't even see why you play him.
I could see if you totally bench him, that's just showing bad will toward him. And I could see free agents not wanting to sign with this team if that's the way you're going to treat players.
Really? You think that would put free agents over the edge? When you have the coach actively calling out the star player Melo, you have the team owner kicking one of the Nick Greats out of the arena and calling him an alcoholic, but benching Rose will put them over the edge.
I mean, I don't think they care as much about ex players as they do current players.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I just think it wouldn't make a difference. It's already like crap.
I don't know. If I was an NBA player and I saw that they signed a guy to a contract and then just decided that they wanted to bench him for the rest of the season just because they didn't like him, I would have second thoughts about signing with that team.
Well, why? Why would you have thoughts? Like, what would? I understand that, but like, also, are we even trying to sign anyone right now? Do you want any big names?
No, but we're gonna have $20 million in cap space, and you know the Knicks aren't just gonna sit on it. You know they're gonna spend it, penny of it.
I know, but I am not every concerned penny. About them. They'll probably use it poorly. It's not gonna.
It's gonna be on one player, and probably a position we don't even need.
I think you go to a free agent and go like, we understood that Rose was not gonna be on the team anymore. We were not gonna re-sign him. We wanted to develop young players. That's what we're going with. You want to sign with a team that's going to develop young players, come here. If you want us to put players ahead of the team, then don't come here. Wouldn't that put a better, like, that would say more of the team just saying, like, hey, we're not playing Rose anymore. We're trying to develop for the future. That would say more of the team than what we're doing now. We're completely directionless.
Pretty much. No, we have a direction. We're still trying to make the playoffs, even though it's almost mathematically impossible.
Pat writes, why do they keep playing games?
I think you get severely fined if you just don't play a game.
Nick should look into that.
They're not really playing when they get there. They're physically showing up.
Are the Knicks going to give Grant writes, are the Knicks going to give Will, the Nets fan, something to laugh about after the game? Yes.
Yep, man, they're good.
Yeah, Spiros writes, how good do you think Chason Randle will be? Do you think he can become an NBA starter?
I don't think he could become a starter, but I think he could be a decent bench player.
Yeah, it's a decent bench player. I mean, I guess we'll never find out because the Knicks have played him somewhat, but
he's better than the Machine.
Yes, which it boggles my mind how Sasha's still here. I don't know what he's doing that's so helpful. Like, what do you think? Where would the Euro guys be without, like, maybe the Euro guys don't have their driver's license and Sasha's their ride to the games. That's the only thing I can think of. Like, how is he really helping these guys at this point?
I have no idea.
Dow writes, Jay, what the hell is going on? I'm from Australia and we are upside down and a day ahead, but I seriously don't understand the Knicks. They make no sense. Can you please make a basketball prophecy and give us hope?
Prophecy, Knicks finish with the fourth worst record and move up from there.
Whoa.
I'm not saying number one, but they might get two or three.
Any player?
If they don't get number one, they're probably not getting Fultz. So maybe they get Ball.
Okay. It's Fultz the whatever. It's Fultz whatever. Is he the...
Yeah, fail for Fultz.
Okay, he's the consensus?
Yeah.
What college is he? I don't even know. What college?
I don't know.
Paul writes, is how much the triangle could help with the tank worth it, considering we just keep instilling inconsistency, or worse yet, will we stick to it next year?
I think as long as Phil's here, he's going to push the triangle.
That's what scares me, is that like, he's like, next year's going to start off with like, everyone's got to run the triangle. Hey, coach, should we practice pick and roll or defense? No, the triangle. That's all that matters.
You know, if you actually reloaded and had a bunch of young guys, you could train them to do the triangle. The problem is you're trying to get guys who ran something different for 15 years to like all of a sudden pick it up.
Yeah, if anything, like the worst possible way to instill the use the triangle system was getting a guy like Rose or even Noah, like getting veterans. Like, well, I guess Noah probably would have been good. He would have made some sense for the triangle.
Right. I feel like Randall and Hernan Gomez would pick it up quicker.
But yeah, just go with young guys and go, this is the system you play with. And
yeah.
Paul writes, what would you pay Lynn if he came back? Meaning, what do you think he's worth on the Knicks?
$8 million per.
Yeah. I'd like to see him back. Alan writes, you know what? What was it? A Grantland, maybe. Not Grantland. What's the new one? The Ringer?
Yeah.
They did the top 10 Knicks point guards the last like 20 years or 15 years or whatever. It was a pretty pathetic list. But on that list, when they included Jeremy Lin on the list, they showed the highlight of him, the three-pointer he hit against the Raptors to beat them during the Lin's Zion streak. And I remember I was watching that being like, I remember watching that live being like, how awesome that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just a good moment.
I loved Lasanity. That was just a great, yeah. Alan writes, since KP recovered from his injury and we've been running the triangle, he has been playing brilliantly.
He's been looking. You know, he has 14 blocks in the last three games.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. But also, I think the first part of what Alan wrote there, since KP recovered from his injury, is the important part here.
Yeah.
I still think they could use him better. I mean, there was one play, like, it was in the fourth quarter, but Melo, like, he had the ball and, like, KP broke to the basket. He could have just hit KP and it would have been a solid, like, I feel like instead of Melo took the shot, I mean, it's not just Melo's fault. It's just they don't seem to play like a team most of the time. It just drives me crazy. When one guy, like, cuts the basket, the other guy's like, well, it's my shot.
Yeah.
Gillum writes, on Melo's comments, don't they prove – oh, here's the comment from the New York Post. What is it said? Carmelo, Knicks triangle quiets Carmelo until he loudly rebels, is the article. And I guess so. And Gillum writes, on Melo's comments, don't they prove he's a problem when he feels vindicated because they lose when he shot only 9 times because playing within the system?
I would say yes, but then they lost again today when he shot 1 million times.
Yeah, there's so many issues here. I mean, the thing is, you really can't even fix this stuff during midseason. You have to, like, the defense first thing has got to be, like, from the beginning of, like, training camp, you have to really instill a good defense, and they're not. Gillum writes, I've been very busy lately, so I've only been able to catch parts of Knicks games, but it seemed to me that lately KP has been much better passing and getting assists, for example, high-low passes, or to a corner three. Have you noticed that, and what do you think is the reason?
I think he's getting more reps with players. I think him and Billy are really looking good together now.
I mean, maybe the triangle, a system that you want more passing, he likes that system.
And he's healthier.
Yeah. Gillum writes, who are the 10 best Knicks point guards in the last 10 years? Those are, according to the article, theringer.com. So I think I sent this to you or I posted it on Facebook. Here's who they had in the list, and tell me if anyone you would add to the list. They put Marbury's number one, I guess. Jeremy Lin, this two, old G. Jason Kidd, Ray Felton. He put Felton on twice. The first Felton is the one that played with Amari when he first got here. Then it goes Priggs, then it goes later, older Felton. Then number 7 is, I don't know, Derrick Rose. Then 8 is Chris Duhon. 9 is Nate Robinson. And 10 is Ron Baker, ? Christ, could it be? And then he goes through the Knicks division and all the other teams, the point guards they've all had in the last 10, 15 years and how pathetic it is. Like how good those point guards are.
It's insane. And the crazy thing is that is probably a pretty accurate list. Like, who would you add to that?
I don't know. Like, it's just, it's not even worth, like, it's a pathetic, pathetic list. It's not even worth going. I guess maybe, like, you could flip Ron Baker with the 2 months of, what's his name in the Melo trade?
Billups?
The good point. Yeah, Billups. 2 months of Billups is probably better than Ron Baker.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's a pathetic list, yes. Yeah. It is arguably one of the most pathetic lists in all sports. Gillum writes, if the Knicks got lucky in the lottery and got the third pick and drafted small forward Josh Jackson, would you be okay with Baker starting next season? Or what would you do with the point guard position?
I wouldn't really feel comfortable with Baker starting.
But what would you do, though?
That's the problem. I feel like if you go for Hill or Teague or Holiday, you're overpaying a lot.
Yeah, and you have them for the next 3 or 4 years, and like next 4 years with a huge contract. You're almost better going with Baker and then like seeing who else you can get in like the D League and just trying to develop a point guard, a young guy, and getting lucky with a guy.
Yeah.
I just don't think I'm against signing any of these vets that are more in win now vets. We're not win now. We're probably going to have a high draft pick next year also, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well just go for another good draft pick at that point.
I am against the Knicks tanking for next year until it proves like that they're just – unless they're god-awful. But I want the Knicks to get better. Yeah. Gillum writes, I mean, it's horrible to watch the team. I want the team to rebuild, but you'd also want the team to tank every year. Or just – what I don't want is the team to – think they're going to the playoffs and end up tanking because they've built a terrible team every year. Gillum writes, you should do the Magic, 76ers, Pelicans, Mavs, T-Wolves, Kings, Blazers podcast, or at least a section every episode, because those are the teams we're actually rooting to win right now. And he also writes, with Embiid out for the season, could Willie win Rookie of the Year, or how close is he in your opinion? You think Embiid's not going to get – you can't give it to Embiid. He's played like half the season.
I've been seeing way too many people saying that – like Stein on ESPN said they're still voting for Embiid. That's insane. He played 31 games and he never played over 30 minutes once. That's insane to vote for him for Rookie of the Year.
I just typed in the NBA Rookie of the Year and the first article says – it's from SB Nation. It says nobody deserves the NBA Rookie of the Year. Let me see who we got. Who are the contenders? They say the top challenger is the guy Malcolm Brogdon on the Milwaukee, Dario Saric on the Sixers. Who else you got? You know what's crazy? Also, was this draft everyone said was loaded, and now didn't everyone say this draft was loaded? Or am I crazy?
This coming one.
No. But I know this coming one's supposed to be loaded. But didn't people say this draft was supposed to be a good one also? The one we just had?
No, they said it was a weak one.
Oh, okay.
It seems like with the draft, it pretty much goes every other year.
Yeah, because, I mean, look at the guys, the big guys drafted here. We got Simmons in play. Two pick was Brandon Ingram, who's not looking very good.
No.
Three pick is Jaylen Brown. But yeah, he hasn't done that much. You got Buddy Hield, who got traded.
That's who I thought was going to win Rookie of the Year.
Really?
Yeah.
But he wasn't very good with Sacktown. He's only been good since the trade.
Yeah, I know. That's who I thought before the season started. That's who I picked. I mean, in Sacramento, his scoring has gone up 5 points a game. And pretty much every single other stat's gone up. Turnovers like triple too, but still.
I mean, I guess like
he's shooting 50% from three since he got to Sacramento.
Yeah, but he's barely been there. Let's look at Hernan Gomez's stats. Can you even justify his stats this year? He's averaging hold up here 7 points a game. You're not going to get Rookie of the Year in 7 points a game and six rebounds. But like his per 36 numbers are like 15 points a game. So maybe the advanced stats guy will give it to him.
Yeah. He's got a good per.
His per is pretty good. I have to say he's not going to get it, but he's not such a long shot. I mean, he's not going to get it, but like, he's not like no one's running away with this.
Right. Do we have any more Facebook questions?
No, that was it. What did we learn today, Jay?
We learned that the tank is going strong. They're not tanking, but it's working. their non-tank is going strong.
I'm looking at this. You have to just give it to Embiid still, I guess.
Really?
He hasn't played enough, but like, who else are you going to give it to? It makes no sense to give it to anyone else.
Saric?
Yeah, I mean...
I'd give it to Saric.
Well, Saric hadn't been that good all year. He's just been good the last, like, couple weeks of the year. Like, last month he's been good.
He's improving.
Yeah, no, he is. But, like, he hasn't played a greater stretch of good games than Embiid has. Embiid's played more good games than Saric has.
Yeah, I just think you got to disqualify somebody if they're playing 30-something games the whole season.
How many games has he actually played? Let's 31. Look it up. Is that it?
Yeah.
He's only played 31 games.
Yes. It's absolute insanity.
Somehow I thought the number was higher.
It's 31, you're right?
I see it here. So basically, he's played, if you do the NBA, the math at the end of the season, he'll have played about 38% of the games.
Yeah.
And you're going to give him Rookie of the Year.
You can't do that.
Okay, so he's... Let's look up Saric. I know he's been playing pretty well lately. I just want to see what his overall stats are. Okay, Saric has played 65 games. He started 20 games. He's averaging about 12 points a game. I know he's coming on. They say he's like averaged 18 points a game the last like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Right.
But his numbers for Rookie of the Year are pretty bad. Like, he's shooting 40% for the year. His numbers are kind of atrocious, actually, if you think about him for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, but I don't see who else you give it to.
So they have NBA.com has like power rankings for Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid's number one. Number two is Saric, and he said 18.1 points for the last 10 games. Number three is Malcolm Brogdon. He's not that good. He's like he's been pretty good. When was he even drafted? Do you know what number he went?
I have no idea.
He was a second-round pick. He was picked 36 in the draft, which also tells you how valuable these number two picks can actually be, these second-round picks can actually be.
Right.
Not that he's all that great, but his numbers also, like, he's averaged just under 10 points a game. I mean, the overall stats are pretty pathetic also of it. Like, Willie's numbers aren't that much worse than any of these guys.
Then I mean, if one of these guys doesn't take a leap, this might go down as, like, one of the worst draft classes of all time.
What about... Oh, the Oladipo, the year draft class that he won the rookie. He was Oladipo Rookie of the Year?
I think he was, yeah.
That draft was horrible.
Yeah.
Because that was the number one was the guy from Cleveland. Anthony Bennett.
Right.
That was...
He didn't win Rookie of the Year, though, right?
What did you say?
He didn't win Rookie of the Year. He just was the number one pick.
Oh, no. Bennett was horrible.
Yeah.
Oladipo, I think, might have been Rookie of the Year. I could be wrong about that, but... Bennett was arguably one of the worst. I mean, I guess the draft wasn't that good, but he's arguably one of the worst 1-1 picks ever.
Yeah.
Like, who's worse? You think about the old ones, the worst. What are the worst NBA number one picks ever? And not like worst because the number two guy, number three guy was Michael Jordan. Like, what's just the worst number one picks ever? What were you going to say?
Might be Bennett.
You got Bennett. Greg Oden, you could argue, but Greg Oden didn't have a career because of injury, not because he just sucked.
Right.
So Oden was bad, and obviously Durant went next, but that was injury. Oluwakandi?
It's up there, but he had a longer career than Bennett.
Who else?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking non-injury, I think it probably is.
Yeah, I mean, outside of injuries, here's a quick list of worst ones. Bargs. But Bargs, like, I mean, he had an NBA career.
Yeah.
You can't argue that he's...
I think if you have, like, a 10-year career, you can't count it as, like, one of the worst.
Yeah, so this is from USA Today. They then Purvis Ellison. I thought he had an NBA career also.
Mm-hmm.
They put Joe Smith, who played in the NBA for a long time.
Yeah.
You can't put it. Oladipo, yes. Oh, Kwame Brown.
Even he played for a while.
Yeah. Greg Oden and then Anthony Bennett. I'd say Anthony Bennett, I mean, forgetting the fact that his draft was worse, like, his draft class was worse. Bennett could be the worst number one pick ever.
Yeah.
Even at the time when they drafted him, everyone was like, why?
Yeah, yeah. He got drafted there. It was like, oh, okay.
I'm not sure he was a top five pick. The rest of these guys, rookie of the year, Marcus Chris in Phoenix, who has looked decent when the Knicks play them. You got Buddy Hield at number five. Hernan Gomez at number six.
Yeah.
If Hernan Gomez, he's going to get solid minutes going forward. If he has a solid run the rest of the season, he has a decent chance at rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Do you know who number seven is?
Mm-mm.
This is how insane this is. This is how terrible this is. Yogi Ferrell is number seven.
Oh my
the
God.
Dude wasn't in the league most of the season.
Yeah, he missed like the first 50 games of the season.
Holy shit, this is. Jaylen Brown is eight. Isaiah Whitehead in Brooklyn is nine. And Brandon Ingram is 10. Lakers fans must just love how bad Ingram's been. Holy shit. This is. So I think what we need to root for the rest of the season is Hernan Gomez getting the rookie of the year. I think he can do it. It's not ridiculous from the past if everyone else.
I don't think it's too crazy to say that it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you look at Embiid, he should pass, but Embiid barely played the season. Sarek, we'll see how Sarek does. He might get it.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Is it Sarek or Sarek or what is it?
I don't know.
I guess I could see Sarek getting it. Ay, ay, ay.
If Hernan Gomez gets it, that'll be like one of the most, the biggest unexpected surprises in recent Knicks history.
Yeah, no. And you have to say also, I mean, like, it's nice that 2 years in a row we have one of the best rookies in the NBA.
Yeah. I'll take it.
That's something. Okay. And like us on Facebook. Write us a review on iTunes. We promise we're going to read some of those reviews really soon. Follow us on Twitter. Send Jay naked pictures of your wife. You know those kind of things.
We have Knicks Podcast t-shirts on the NewYorkKnicksPodcast.com. Help support the show. Check out AlmightyBaller.com. That is our network. There is now 27 team-related shows and about a dozen general NBA shows, all of high quality. So check those out, and we will be back next Sunday.
If you can guess the three teams that are not covered in the Almighty Podcast Network, you can win a New York Knicks t-shirt for the low price of $15.
Hey, it's $3 off.
Okay, yes. You will get $3. I will cover that $3 if you can guess those three teams. There we go. Nailed it.
And free shipping.
Yes.
All right. So thank you, and we will be back next Sunday at 8:30.
Thank you, Knicks, for doing your tanking best.
All right, goodbye.
This is the end. Take it.